Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Today is the second in a two-day series on a book that I'm very excited about. It's titled Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case, written by Dr. Frank Turek, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can give there in a safe, secure fashion. When you give, I'll be sending you a copy of Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. You might be surprised to know that university professors have a far more favorable conception of Islam than they do Christianity. And that prejudice against Bible-believing Christians is going to continue to accelerate as it seeps from professors to impressionable students and then into the mainstream culture during the coming years. And of course, all of this despite the fact that the Quran is replete with factual errors and questionable ethics. The result of this prejudice, though, against the historic Christian faith is that there's this strong antagonism towards anything Christian. And as Christianity shrinks into a further minority status, what this underscores is the need to know what you believe, why you believe what you believe. And I think even as significantly as all of this, who you believe, because virtually every single theological error begins with a misconception of the nature of God. Another reason that I'm excited about this book, I mean, God is the biggest word on the title page, on the front cover. And what we're saying is that God exists, that we are created in the image of God, that we are accountable to God, that we're going to spend an eternity with God or separated from God. To talk about all of that and more, the author, Frank Turek, joins me in studio. Good to have you back.
Hank, always great to be with you here. Thanks.
This is a book that really is not something you decided to sit down and write. I mean, this is a function of a book that has been generated out of the course of your life and living. You have been living and breathing this book. You've been going to college campuses. You've been dealing with this issue. So this is not just some ivory tower thing. As you read through the book, you know that you have been encountering the very issues, answering the very questions that people are asking on university campuses. This isn't made-up questions, supposed questions. These are the real down and dirty questions people are asking.
Yeah, people always say, how long did it take you to write the book? I normally say 53 years. It's a life of, now I haven't been doing this for 53 years, don't get me wrong, but for the past 20 or so I have been. And going to college campuses, you get a lot of questions, and they're really represented throughout this book. It's not just me either. I use some other people that have been on college campuses quite a bit and put in some of their interactions with atheists to show that this is what atheists are thinking. These are the things, Hank. The items, the thoughts, the ideas that we talk about in Stealing from God are the thoughts and ideas that are going to be advanced in the college classroom when your child goes there.
Catch us up to date. Yesterday's broadcast, we talked about causality, reason, and then information, intentionality. Mm-hmm. They're the first three letters of your acronym, CRIMES. We're going to be dealing today with the last three letters, mm-hmm. morality, evil, and science. But give us just a snapshot of what we talked about yesterday.
Causality. Atheists sometimes doubt the law of causality whenever it might point to God. They're all over it when they think it points to atheism. But if we doubt the law of causality, as people like Lawrence Krauss have done, then we've doubted virtually everything we can know about anything, because the law of causality is necessary to know virtually everything we know. Reason. Atheists try and say they're the reasonable ones, but by their atheistic, materialistic worldview, reason is impossible, because if we're just moist robots, if we're just molecular machines, as the atheists say, why should we believe anything we think, including the thought that atheism's true? Information and intentionality. Information deals with the genome, and whenever we see a message, we know there must be a mind or a messenger. And so we see this incredible genome, this incredible information in a genome, and we know there's got to be a mind out there that put all this into place. Intentionality deals with the goal-directedness of the universe. We haven't had much of a chance to talk about that yet, but that goes all the way back to Aristotle's final causality argument, which was picked up by Aquinas in the 1200s. This is one of the most powerful arguments for God, I think, that's out there, Hank, that the entire universe is goal-directed. Let me just give you one very brief example. Why does an acorn always become an oak tree? Why doesn't it become an elm tree or a birch tree or a seahorse? Because it's goal directed to become an oak tree. Now, is it conscious? Is an acorn sitting in the ground going, I got to become an oak tree? No. Then how does it know to go in a direction? Because there's an external intellect, a mind directing it toward an end. That's what we mean by God. That same goal directedness keeps the laws of nature constant and goal directed. In fact, this is why Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. And he said, in Christ all things are held together. God just doesn't create the universe and then leaves it. God creates the universe and sustains it right now. He's holding us together right now as we sit here. So this is part of the intentionality argument we make in the chapter there on information and intentionality.
I was just thinking about intentionality and the fact that there's probably an intentionality in the fact that the first three letters represent our organization.
I just caught that. CRI. That's exactly right. And that's why you have to get this book from CRI right now.
That's right. And by the way, when you become a CRI support team member, I'm going to see if I can get, I haven't asked you about this, maybe you can autograph a few.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Copy from Frank.
Happy
to. To you, a family member or a friend, and you can join the CRI support team online in a safe, secure fashion. You can go to equip.org/donate. Again, when you become a monthly CRI support team member, you quite literally turbocharge the ministry. Honestly, that just popped into my head. But now we're at the M, and you know, I'm going to throw out a phrase here that people are going to say, what in the world are you talking about? The Euthyphro dilemma. Mm-hmm. For students, however, everybody knows about this, because this is a false dilemma that college professors, university professors bring up all the time. It is kind of poisoning the well, if you will. Is something good because the gods will it, or to the gods will it because it is good? And this throws a lot of Christian students when they go to universities for a loop.
Yeah, it shouldn't, because it's a false dilemma, as you just said, Hank. See, a true dilemma is A or non-A. But a false dilemma is A or B. Like, maybe there's a C out there, right? Because A or non-A is a true dilemma, but A, B, maybe there's a C, D, E, maybe there's other options here. Well, it turns out there are other options, at least one other option. God doesn't look at a standard beyond him and say, oh, that's good, well, I'm going to do that. Then he wouldn't be God. The standard above him would be God. God doesn't invent morality. He doesn't come up and say, well, I'm going to call murder bad today, and tomorrow I'll call rape bad or rape good or whatever. He doesn't arbitrarily make things up. God is the standard. There's not a standard beyond him. He's not arbitrary. He is the standard. You see, that's the third option that the Euthyphro dilemma people never give you. The third option is God is the standard. See, the buck has to stop somewhere. It stops with God's nature. God is the standard of goodness, and any deviation from that is what we would call evil.
And when we talk about morality, ethics and morals, unfortunately, in our culture, are no longer a function of objective standards, but tragically based on the size and the scope of the latest lobby group.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Hank. Atheists are stealing from God whenever they say they have certain rights. I mean, I hear this all the time in the public square. You've got atheists out there. like arguing for abortion rights, or they're arguing for same-sex marriage, or they're arguing for government-funded health care, or whatever they're arguing for. And yet, if there is no God, there's no right to anything. Everything's a matter of opinion. It's just your opinion against some other person's opinion. If there's no standard beyond humanity, which is an authoritative standard that establishes what good is and what right is, how do human beings have rights? We don't. We're just maybe an evolved creature here that has no moral value than anything else. There's no ultimate good. There's no ultimate bad. Everything ultimately ends in heat death, and we go into the ground and become worm food. There's no right or wrong if there is no God. So ironically, when atheists in the public square are arguing for rights, they're stealing the authority for rights from God while arguing he doesn't exist.
Redefinition of marriage a natural consequence of getting rid of God?
Oh, absolutely, I think. And part of the problem was Christians, because we gave in to no-fault divorce. We said no-fault divorce was just fine, which made marriage just about the desires, the romantic desires of adults, which inevitably is, well, if marriage is just about romance and nothing about children or nothing about commitment and truly loving another person, then why shouldn't marriage just be about whoever you love, whether it's male, female, or several people, because we're heading toward polygamy now, as you know.
You know, these things are always turned on their head. It seems that you, talking about this in your book or talking about it on college campuses, are considered the one who lacks love. But when you really think about the anthropology, the reality has always been the same. Gender-differentiated parenting is best for children. Mm-hmm. That's not a Christian staple. That's what you find in the metrics of sociology. So if you really care about the most vulnerable among us, you're not going to redefine marriage.
Exactly not. And it amazes me today out there, Hank, there are people out there who are saying they can't control their sexual behavior, but they can control their gender. You know, it's exactly the opposite. You can legislate morality, but you can't legislate biology. Yet they want to legislate biology. They want to say that we can legislate what we are biologically. No, you can't do that. You can legislate morality. All laws legislate morality. All laws say one behavior right and the opposite behavior is wrong. But these people are out there, they actually have the world on their heads. And it's completely turned around. I've noticed this isn't maybe true in all situations, but I've noticed that political conservatives, people who want to conserve the good from the past, want to change their behavior to fit reality, where political liberals today want to change reality to fit their behavior. And I think that's a fool's errand in the long run. You can't change reality to fit your behavior. You're ultimately going to end up sick and dead if you keep trying that.
Talking to Dr. Frank Turek, the book Stealing from God, it is a must read. You can get your copy for your gift on the web at equip.org, equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I'm thinking about Sir Julian Huxley in light of what you just said. He said that the real problem was always a problem of morality. He said we got rid of God because God interfered with our sexual mores, and so he became nothing more than the faint and disappearing smile of the cosmic Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. We got rid of God, and look at the consequences in our culture.
Hank, I'm glad you brought that up, because the key question I ask people on college campuses now, particularly who are atheists, is this. When they stand at the microphone and they get a little bit hostile, I'll usually stop and I'll say, "Can I just ask you a question?" And they go, "Sure." I say, "If Christianity were true, would you become a Christian?" Do you know how many atheists I've had yell back at me, "No"? And you know why they ultimately admit why the answer is no? It's because of morality. It's because of accountability. They don't want it. They don't want there to be a God. They want to be God. So I urge people listening right now, if you have somebody in your life who is not a Christian, ask that person this question. If Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? If they hesitate or they say no, you know the problem's not intellectual. It's moral. It's volitional. They don't want it to be true.
You think about Planned Parenthood and the selling of baby parts. It's gruesome. It's grisly. We thought at one time about the smoke wafting over the steeples of of churches in the German countryside. In essence, we are replaying that same scene today. It's happening, but most of us seem to want to get on with our life and don't really care about that main and very plain thing.
Hank, we want to suppress the truth and unrighteousness, just as Paul said. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to be constrained by anything. We want to just do our own thing. And it amazes me that these Planned Parenthood people are trying to say these videos are doctored when everyone knows they're not. In fact, the entire video can be seen on the Center for Medical Progress website, not just the edited versions. And Nancy Pelosi last week, or a couple of weeks ago, said something like this. She was asked a question, have you seen the video? She said, no, but they're doctored. That's what she said. No, she hadn't seen them, but they're doctored. They're suppressing the truth, Hank. This is what Paul says we'll do when we want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. We don't want there to be a God. We'll suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
We're not just sitting here in silence. We're trying to make a difference while there is yet time. One person with God is a majority. Stealing from God is one of the ways in which you can make a difference in the life of a student, in perhaps your own life, in the life of a family member or a friend. You can get your copy on the web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org when you support this ministry. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about the whole issue of evil.
We're losing our young people to atheism and materialism by the millions. The great tragedy is not that we're fighting these battles and losing to superior arguments or worldviews. Our superior arguments are simply unknown by far too many Christians. To help remedy this problem, CRI is offering Frank Turek's fascinating book, Stealing from God: Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be right back after this. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, a Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, "The new atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you just dismiss them." Veal goes on to show that the new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, a Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Many parents and churches emphasize emotion and ignore the biblical commands to develop the mind, which means that most kids skip off to college equipped with little more than feel-good emotionalism, writes Frank Turek in his latest book, Stealing from God: Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. If bands, pizza, and Pepsi could equip church youth with the intellectual firepower to defend Christianity, we wouldn't have so many kids fleeing the church. To equip young people in the defense of the faith and help reverse their mass exodus from the church, read Stealing from God: Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God and Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. In his recent book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case, author Frank Turek shows that the laws of logic, our ability to reason, and the intelligibility of the universe cannot be accounted for apart from a timeless, spaceless, immaterial, and unchangeable mind. What this means for atheists is that by using reason, they are actually stealing from God in order to argue against Him. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You've tuned in to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm interviewing Dr. Frank Turek, the book Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. And we're systematically going through the acronym CRIMES, causality, reason, information, intentionality. We talked about morality in the last segment, and now we're on to the E in CRIMES, evil. And I want to set this up, Frank, by quoting Bill Maher. He's a very famous punmeister. He is almost ubiquitous sometimes on television. But he talks about God being a moral monster, a psychotic mass murderer. He says, what kind of a tyrant punishes people in mass in order to get back at the few he happens to be mad at? And then he says conservatives are always going on about how Americans are losing their values, losing their morality. Well, says Bill Maher, maybe it's because you worship a guy who drowns babies. Now, we say in a Christian worldview that God does create the potential for evil by giving human beings freedom of choice. We of our own volition actualize that evil. In your chapter, you point out that good reason will provide all the information we need to see that the very existence of evil is a contradiction for atheism. It's not a problem for Christianity or Christian worldview. It's a contradiction for atheism. If evil is real, categorically you say, atheism by virtue of that then is false. So does evil disprove atheism is the obvious lead-in question.
Yeah, it does, and that's the ironic thing. Here's Bill Maher. And by the way, I was on Bill Maher's show three times back 10 or so years ago when he was on ABC and Politically Incorrect, and we had a dust-up over abortion once. I, of course, was saying abortion was immoral, and he said it was a moral right. Now, it's interesting that Bill Maher would say something like, God is a tyrant when he kills people in the Old Testament. Now, my question for Bill Maher is this. Why is it that when God plays God and kills people in the Old Testament, he's immoral, but when Bill Maher plays God and kills people in the womb, that's a moral right for him? You ever notice that? I mean, why is it that we're pointing our fingers at God, who is the creator and sustainer and resurrector of life, and we're saying you're wrong when you want to end life at a particular point, but we have the right to end life at any time. We didn't create life. We can't resurrect it. Now, God can take anybody's life at any time that he wants. He can take people's life at 2 years old or 82 years old. I mean, if Christianity is true, technically people don't really die. They just change location. And God can take people out at 2 years old or 82 or anywhere in between. So it's not murder for God to kill people in the Old Testament. God can't murder anyone. He's the giver and taker of life and the resurrector of life. It's murder for us. So it's ironic that Bill Maher, who doesn't have a standard, by the way, to say something's good or bad anyway, is saying that the God of the Bible's evil. Well, if there's something evil anywhere, God exists. Not because God is doing evil, but because God is the standard of good which makes evil even possible. And so Bill Maher is actually stealing from God to complain about what God does.
And the other point here, and you touched on this, God never does what he does in a capricious and arbitrary fashion.
Right.
You think about us going into, let's say, Nazi Germany, and people will say, even if they're atheists, nothing could be done to that person that would not be horrible enough. I mean, that person deserves the worst. Mm. Or you have a mass murderer walking into a school, a high school, a college, creating bedlam, killing people. You have atheists then saying the death penalty is this guy needs to suffer. This guy needs to be tortured. Mm-hmm. Well, God never tortures people. Mm-hmm. What God does is in the end, he gives them justice because he is a just God. He is not just a God of love, he is a God of justice. And were his justice not exacted in this world, in certain circumstances, whole civilizations would collapse upon themselves.
In fact, justice, here's the test that you can give yourself if you're listening right now. If you think there's one thing really wrong about the world, just one, could be hunger, could be sin, could be crime, could be things just aren't going the way you think they ought to go. Could be the Holocaust. It could be someone doesn't have a right they should have. If you think there's just one injustice in the world, God exists. A real injustice. Why? Because there can't be injustice unless there's justice. This is why C.S. Lewis famously said that he was an atheist for a while, and he realized that the world was so unjust. That's why he was an atheist. And then he said, how would I got this idea of just and unjust? A man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line. What was I comparing this universe with when I called it unjust? He thought injustice proved there was no God, but injustice merely proves there's justice, which merely proves there's a God. He put it in another context. He said, the shadows prove the sunshine. In order to have shadows, you have to have sunshine. Oh, you can have sunshine without shadows. You can have good without evil, but you can't have shadows without sunshine. You can't have evil without good. So if there's really evil out there, Hank, God exists, and we all know there's evil out there. Now we can ask the follow-on question, well, why would God allow evil to continue? That's another question. But evil is out there. If evil's out there, God is out there because God is the standard of good, which makes evil even possible.
Of course, if God got rid of evil, he would get rid of every one of us. He has designed a time for the wheat and the tares to grow together. God, in his infinite love and mercy, does not want anyone to perish. He is a being of such infinite love that he did all that could be imagined, all that indeed is possible so that we could be reconciled to him, not only for time, but also for eternity. You know, I have to go to this. I was going to mention that I'm talking to Dr. Frank Turek here. He's the author of Stealing from God. I think it's so important, though, Frank, that we recognize that in all the talk, what you and I are driving at in this broadcast is the reality that there are only two kinds of people in the world. C.S. Lewis, you mentioned, he said, there are those who bow their knee and say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God in the end says, thy will be done. There's no pleasure in that second statement. When you think about the horrifying reality that people will get what they want, an eternity separated from God. The horror of that is unimaginable because we are created in the image and likeness of God. God has created us in such a way that we find our greatest fulfillment in relationship to him, and that's the one thing that people who deny him in this world will not have for all eternity. A horrifying thought. That's really why you wrote the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the bottom...
That's right.
Of everything that gets mm-hmm. to the motivation.
Yes, they are rejecting the only source of goodness that exists, and that is God, the only ultimate source of goodness. And just imagine, everybody, believer, unbeliever, in today's world, while you're alive here on earth, you get some of the benefits of God's grace, even if you're not a believer. You have relationships, you have love, you have the warmth of the sun and the environment that we live here. That's all God's common grace. But I want people out there to imagine a place where there is no goodness. There are no relationships. There is no future. There is no hope. There is no warmth. There is nothing that makes life livable. There's nothing but cold, stone-cold, narcissistic self-absorption. That's hell. You're just cut off from the only source of goodness out there. That's what hell is, ultimately. That's why Paul says it's separation from God. You're separated from the only goodness out there. And that's why when people ask me, will God send me to hell just because I don't believe in Jesus? First of all, I say, you don't go to hell because you don't believe in Jesus. You go to hell because you've sinned. Now, you could prevent, say, dying by going to a physician, and you could prevent hell by going to the great physician. But the reason you're going to die is because you have a disease. The reason you're going to go to hell is because you sin. You want a solution to that? Jesus is the only solution. And by the way, Jesus had to come because of this chapter we're talking about here, evil. We brought evil into the world. Christ had to come and save us from it. And he's opening his arms up saying, if you want the free gift of salvation, I've provided it for you. If you don't want it, I'm going to leave you alone.
The book we're talking about, of course, is Stealing from God. It's by my guest, Dr. Frank Turek. You can get your copy on the web in a safe, secure fashion when you support the ministry. Equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I was thinking about this whole matter of evil, the E in the acronym CRIMES, and Bill Maher saying that God is a psychotic mass murderer. Can't help but equate that in some sense with the irony that someone is calling God a psychotic mass murderer in face of what we talked about a little earlier, Planned Parenthood, where you're actually dissecting a live baby or a baby that has just been terminated. You're dissecting a child created in the image and likeness of God. And Frank, just a few weeks ago, I had a little girl in the studio. Well, she's not a little girl anymore. She's nine, but she's in this, her name is Elise. She was a frozen embryo, frozen maybe 5 years, adopted, and she now is a beautiful child. No question whatsoever that a zygote or a conceptus has full personhood from the moment of conception, not a developed personality, but full person. We are dissecting those children, and some at quite a stage of development.
It's amazing that we criticize the Nazis and Joseph Mengele, who did those experiments on children in the Nazi death camps, and we're doing the same thing over here. They're just
people say that's hysteria when you say that, but that's not.
It's true. It's still a human being. What do they think's in there? A squirrel? There's a human being in there. You never get a squirrel. You never get a duck. You never get a seahorse coming out of a woman. It's a human being. We know that from the moment of conception. And if there's any doubt about that, wouldn't you give the benefit of the doubt to life? You know, Hank, it amazes me. These are the same people who say they're all about science. And yet when you give them the scientific evidence that there's a human being in the womb, they immediately start getting weak in the knees. Oh, no, we're not so sure. And oh, really? Who's the scientific one now? They're suppressing the truth. Why? Because let's go back to what we talked about before, Hank. This is not about evidence. This is about morality and accountability, and people don't want it. They want to do their own thing. They want, quote unquote, sexual freedom to do whatever they want to do, and abortion allows them to do that.
You mentioned science. We're going to go to science, which is the final letter in the acronym CRIMES. When we come back from the break, this is a segment you don't want to miss. Again, we're going to be talking about science. We've talked about causality. We have talked about reason, intentionality, and information. We've talked about morality, the problem of evil. All of this provided in an accessible fashion in the book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. We'll be talking about the whole matter of science. Could science have arisen in any other kind of an epoch than an epoch that featured a Christian worldview? We'll be talking about that and a whole lot more when we come back from the break. Again, my guest, Dr. Frank Turek, the book Stealing from God, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Instrument Broadcast. Check it out on the web, equip.org. Be right back.
In the current cosmic battle for the minds and souls of millions,
too many Christians comport themselves as clueless babes in the woods, utterly ill-equipped to deal with the sinister assaults that are mounting on multiple fronts. The reality is, it's not too difficult to become equipped to present and defend the faith. And that's why CRI is offering Frank Turek's illuminating book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay with us. Hank will be back right after this. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. A young Christian woman goes off to college with a vision to win her campus for the Lord, only to call home at the end of the quarter to say, "Dad, I don't believe in God anymore." This scenario is becoming all too common. But according to Frank Turek, it's not so much that Christian minds are lost at college, it's that Christian minds rarely get to college. The key to reversing this mass exodus of youth from the church is in preparing them with good reasons to believe. That's why CRI is offering the book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Frank Turek's Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and New Atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism and, just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Multitudes of students are leaving the church as the result of arguments against Christianity from atheist college professors. Yet atheist arguments against God are faulty. Moreover, the feel-good emotionalism offered in most church youth groups leaves students unprepared to give a reason for why they believe what they believe. One of the ways CRI is seeking to reverse this tragic situation is by offering the latest book by Frank Turek, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Having a blast talking to Frank Turk, good friend of mine. We live in the same neck of the woods, so to speak, and he's written a fantastic book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. We're trying to do all we can to whet your appetite so that you get the book, read the book, give the book away. It is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Instrument Broadcast, our outreaches around the world. You can access the book for your gift on the web, equip.org, or when you write me, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. As mentioned in the last broadcast, including today, yesterday and today, this book is forged around an acronym, the acronym CRIMES. First day we talked about CRI, causality, reason, intentionality, or information. Today we've been talking about morality and evil, the problem of evil, and how all of these issues are issues that relate to the thesis of this book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. We've now gotten to the last letter, the S in CRIMES. Very, very important, the issue of science. So many people think that faith and reason are two separate categories. The twain shall never meet. If you have reason, then you're a scientist. If you have faith, you might be a Christian. But if you're a scientist, you can't exercise faith. If you exercise faith, you can't be a scientist. False dichotomy. But Augustine, one of the great minds of the Christian church, believed revelation to be the necessary precondition for all knowledge. No matter how keen your eyesight, you can see absolutely nothing if you're confined to pitch black darkness. So as light is axiomatic for seeing, so revelation is needed for knowing. Reason without revelation led scientists to postulate that blacks are inferior to whites, that women are inferior to men. Never reason informed by revelation. Reason devoid of revelation led Richard Dawkins, I think of him as perhaps the most popular atheist and evolutionist on the planet, led him to postulate that a human has no more intrinsic value than a banana. Think about that. A boy, no more intrinsic value than a banana, and some famous scientist actually saying that. My point in all of that, however, simply to underscore that science could never have arisen in the Greek epic. They believed in a reason devoid of revelation in a universe ministered by moody gods. So we're going to talk in this segment with Frank Turek about how it is that science in reality is a tool. It's not a judge. It's not an interpreter. Science is a tool, and we so often miscast science and give it properties it simply doesn't have.
Exactly, and in fact, the title of the chapter, Hank, is Science Doesn't Say Anything Scientists Do. Science, as you just mentioned, is a tool. It's a method we use to discover cause and effect inside the world. But science doesn't say a word. Why? Because all data needs to be gathered, and then all data needs to be interpreted, and science doesn't do that. Scientists do that. That's why there are so many atheistic scientists out there running around saying, well, science, we don't need God, we need science. They're saying that because their worldview has already philosophically ruled out God or intelligence before they look at the evidence. So it doesn't matter what the evidence is showing them. They're always going to interpret the evidence to say there is no God. Why? Because that's their preconceived notion. But science doesn't say there is no God. In fact, Paul Davies, a physicist from Arizona, originally from overseas, but I think he teaches at Arizona State or University of Arizona, one of the two. He had an article in the New York Times in 2006, Hank, and it said, Taking Science on Faith. And he basically said that scientists assume the laws of nature are just there. And after he wrote this editorial in the New York Times, his inbox was filled with vitriol. How could you do such a thing? And Davies is an agnostic. All his atheistic buddies are going, how could you even ask the question? Because we're taking the laws of nature on faith as scientists. Why are they so constant? Why are they so reliable? Why are they so precise? Is that the result of randomness? Is that the result of no mind? No, you know what? The reason that they're so reliable, precise, and constant is because science itself or the laws of nature themselves are built and they're created by a lawgiver, by a mind, and they're held together by a lawgiver. That's why, as you hinted at before in the intro there, Hank, that science came from a Christian worldview. Because the ancient scientists, from the 16, 1700s, people like Kepler and Bacon and Newton said, we're trying to think God's thoughts after him. Because the universe is reliable, the universe is constant, the universe has order to it, and that order reflects the mind of the great orderer. Science is only possible if the laws of nature are what they are, and they come from God.
Again, we're talking about the book Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. The author, Dr. Frank Turek, the book available when you check it out on the web at equip.org or pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. But I want to just take a little turn here and talk about organizations like ours, an organization that deals with the issue of apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults and world religions. Speak to the priority of people supporting these kinds of organizations at this particular juncture in history.
Well, Hank, as the culture gets darker and darker, organizations like CRI are going to have to be brighter and brighter, because I just can't tell you how many times I go to a college campus and I'm just appalled, first of all, by the level of knowledge of some people on the college campus and how they're diverted by bad arguments, bad evidence. And you mentioned earlier that surveys show that 53% of college professors view evangelical students unfavorably. You know what, Hank? Partially, I don't blame the college professors for that. Because when the evangelical students get to college, they don't really know why they believe what they believe. And most Christian adults, unfortunately, don't either. Maybe not your listeners. Your listeners are educated because you're educating them, and CRI provides such great resources. But generally, the Christian audience out there, or I should say that the Christian church, is not well-versed in apologetics or evidences. And that's why when these young kids go off to college, college professors are rightfully unimpressed with what they hear. That's why CRI is so important. When you look at the web, when you look at the books, when you look at the Christian Research Journal, when you look at all these things that CRI provides, these are the essentials that young people and even older people need to know. Because as we talked earlier, maybe we talked about this yesterday, this is our second program, where we talked about the fact that when the storms of life come on, your house should be well built. You don't try and build a house in a storm. You try and build the house before the storm comes. So that's why I think CRI and other organizations are so important at this time.
And when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation, you'll receive a personalized copy of any one of my books. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. And I talked to Frank about personalizing this book as well. So if you want this book personalized to you, a family member or a friend, as you join the CRI monthly support team, Frank has graciously agreed to do that. He'll personalize it to you, a family member, a friend. The issue of biblical literacy, this is dealt with in this book as well, because one of the things that we have the greatest problem with in this particular culture is people simply don't know how to read the Bible, literature in general, but the Bible in particular. And as a result of that, they have all kinds of conceptions about Christianity simply do not correspond to reality.
Yeah, in fact, in the book Stealing from God, in the chapter on evil, I put out a little acronym, an acronym within an acronym called STOP.
I saw that.
Yeah, this is just something that I thought about when I'm trying to figure out what a passage means. And the S stands for the situation. What's going on at the time? Like, for example, we talked earlier about the Canaanites. You know, what was the situation with the Canaanites? How long were they in the land? How long have they been doing these naughty practices and these sinful practices, Hank? How long have they been doing them? How long has God been warning them? That's the situation. They're doing child sacrifice to Molech, right? The T is, what's the type of literature? Is it history? Is it parable? Is it apocalyptic literature, which I learned a lot from you in the Apocalypse Code, what that's all about. Is it parable? Is it straight history? Is it law? What is it? Is it epistle? Is it gospel? All different types of literature requires you to interpret it differently. The O is the object. Who's the object of the text? Is it ancient Israel? Is it us today? Is it both? Who is it? And the P stands for, is it prescriptive or descriptive? Is this prescriptive for us today, or is it descriptive, like a description of an historical event? Are we supposed to go kill the Canaanites today, or is it a description of what God told the Israelites to do for certain reasons at the time? And so if you stop, if you think of the situation, the type of the literature, the object, and the prescription or description, I think you got a good start on how to figure out how to interpret the passage.
And again, this is hitting the bullseye. We're talking about learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, or mine the Bible for all its wealth. Bart Ehrman says that one of the things that caused him to lose his faith is he found out that Jesus Christ said that the mustard seed was the smallest of all seeds. And as a result of that, he found out that Jesus could not be God, because he would have known that an orchid seed is smaller. And so what in essence did he do? And you alluded to this. He took a parable and he tried to make the parable walk on all fours. But when these kinds of canards are thrown out there, we need to be ready to give an answer, or at least know where the answer can
be
found. One last thing. I mean, we don't have all the answers. You and I both know. The more you learn, the more you realize how little you know in the scope of what could be known.
My teenage son had them, though. Once.
We don't have all the answers, but one of the things we can say to people is, I don't know the answer. I'll find the answer.
That's right.
In the process, you become an ever more effective tool.
Exactly. And let me mention one other thing, Hank. If people haven't downloaded the... If they haven't downloaded the CRI app, they need to do that. The CRI app, I mean, they get the broadcast every day, and then they also get answers right there on their iPhone. So, I mean, you got the journal, you got the website, you got the app, you got your books, you've got all sorts of resources. There's no excuse anymore. There's plenty of resources that people can have right with them at all times to know why we believe what we believe.
And we have the book that we've been talking about for the last couple of days. We're really excited about that. Excited about the fact that you used crimes as well as stop in such an effective way to equip God's people on the apologetic issue. If you do not have this book and you've listened to today's broadcast, you need to be dialing the number, talking to our resource consultants, 888-7000 at the letter CRI, or just checking it out on the web at equip.org. You can get it there in a safe, secure fashion as you give, or as you write me at Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. It's been a pleasure hosting you for a couple of days, Frank.
Hank, it's all my pleasure. Thanks so much, brother.
Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. It's a must read. And again, thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back next time with your questions live from the broadcast as you call 888-ASK-HANK. That translates numerically to 888-275-4265. And thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder in this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Many parents and churches emphasize emotion and ignore the biblical commands to develop the mind, which means that most kids skip off to college equipped with little more than feel-good emotionalism, writes Frank Turek in his latest book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. If bands, pizza, and Pepsi could equip church youth with the intellectual firepower to defend Christianity, we wouldn't have so many kids fleeing the church. To equip young people in the defense of the faith and help reverse their mass exodus from the church, read Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.